Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, it's blocked by James. LeBron James with the rejection.
Welcome to the Chase Down on Almighty Baller Radio. I'm your host, Justin Rowan, with my co-host, Carter Rodriguez. Carter, how's it going today?
Going fine. We're just working our way through the dregs of free agency now.
We're officially in slow news day portion of the offseason.
Oh, yeah. We've got Jose Calderon. He's an official Cavalier.
Not the former Nick we wanted, but
the picture of him.
It'll work.
The picture of him in an empty room. Really sold everything
the empty
that everyone
room,
feels about it.
The empty room is definitely a distant second to the tiny table that the Knicks have every time someone signs.
I think that's a power move from the Knicks, honestly.
The tiny table?
Yeah, I think it's like, hey, you know, you think you're like some hot shit, you're signing a big contract, but like we're going to like kind of like weirdly emasculate you by making you look awkward when you sign your contract. It's all part of the long game. Phil had that installed before he even took the job.
Mm-hmm.
They haven't bothered to replace it yet.
Even when Rambis was there, I'm sure it was awkward. I'm sure there was a camera facing the couch at all times.
Rambis is just this guy that we've all agreed on. It's just a spy. He's just a narc.
He's a narc that likes porn.
Yeah, sure does. What was it? The big butts? Was that the?
Yeah, yeah. He followed some big butts accounts and other stuff like that, and it was just fantastic.
I love it when like the stoic white guys get caught. It's like a Republican senator being found in a men's bathroom. It's just like, oh, it just is so. It's too juicy, too perfect.
Well, the funny thing about. with Rambis, he claimed his account was hacked, but that's, if you're a hacker, that's a really, really smart way to go, is just ridiculously subtle, so subtle that it doesn't even seem worthwhile to hack into someone's account. No tweets, just follow a couple of Big Butts accounts.
I had a coworker named Mike, who I used to work with, and he called himself the mundane prankster, and he just did minor inconveniences to your day. And that's all he did. That was his joy, was trying to find like the most small little pranks to do that didn't actually do anything, but just were like, God damn it, Mike.
I feel like that's a good shtick.
So it's great. And so maybe Mike was the one who hacked Rambis's account. Who's to say?
Maybe he also changed the keys on the keyboard, popped them out and put them into different places. Little things.
He wouldn't even do that. He'd do this thing where he'd somehow flip your desktop view upside down.
Oh, God.
Yeah, it was amazing.
That's inconvenient.
It was very inconvenient. You'd have to, because no one knew how to do it. He knew a shortcut to do it, so you'd just walk right by your computer, pop it up, and do it, and then you'd have to like dive into your like display settings. It was infuriating.
I think my favorite prank that I saw passed around online was they changed the background to Jigsaw saying, "Want to play a game?" And then every single inch of the desktop was covered with the Google Chrome logos, but only one was Google Chrome. The rest were all Explorer.
That is some good shit. I'm a terrible pranker. It's not my... I don't have the malevolence or the creativity to do it. My father and my brother are amazing. They go to war with each other, and sometimes I just get caught in the crossfire. But me, I'm a disaster. Anyway, Cavs.
Yeah, so Cavs segues are offered. Yeah, Jeff Green.
I think it's important that we preface this conversation with the reality that Jeff Green is not good.
No, he is not good.
But
he's better than Derek Williams.
He is probably better than Derek Williams. And I know that people kind of do this thing where they look at last season's stats and go, oh my God, he shot 39%. He shot 28% from three.
That Magic team was dog shit.
When the Cavs were considering trading for Channing Frye, people kind of did the same thing. They're like, oh, he's not good anymore. this isn't Suns Channing Frye you're getting. I was like, well, I would caution against taking too much into a single player's stats in one season in Orlando. Like,
I haven't dived into, like, the individual stats. Like, oh, what did he shoot on open threes and stuff like that? Because I don't really hate myself that much. But
this doesn't matter. Like, there's no flow. There's no, the energy is terrible there.
It's point like, guard plays awful. Yeah, there's like, no spacing.
You're like the culture is terrible. The fit is terrible. So just a lot of the stats just don't tell you a lot because it's just really like you almost have to throw away those seasons. Which like
and everyone's playing out of position too. Like and to be oh clear, Aaron Gordon's. Yeah. Aaron Gordon's like, their star prospect at the four, but they signed Jeff Green and they signed a million other guys to play that position. So
yeah. It's just really interesting. I mean, obviously Memphis and Lakers fans feel justifiably burned. he was pretty frustrating for them. There's no way around it. But they were also asking him to do a lot more than what the Cavs are going to ask him to do. Cavs are just going to say, hey, be like a, excuse me, I'm burping.
Be under 35.
Yeah, be under 35. Be a tertiary creator, not even a secondary creator. Just like, if they close out on you, please dribble.
pass to the open man.
Pass to the wide open guy. Play switchy defense. You know, have long arms, be tall. You know, don't be a complete stiff. Like, they're not going to really ask him to create much. So in that regard, I think it's fine. I really do. Like, the volume, you know, is going to go down. So, you know, hopefully they'll just find him some more efficient shots. But, you know, it's just that year in Orlando is such a shit show that it's kind of hard to ultimately care about it.
He can kind of play defense. Sure. At least relative to the players that we've had on our roster in the last couple of years.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, he's also long, so that helps.
Yeah, I've seen some people like even saying like he's so bad that he's not worth the minimum. And I'm just like...
No, that's Jose Calderon.
Yeah. Like, if you guys don't understand who's available for the minimum, like, you can't... you can't always judge a signing based on who else is making the minimum either. You know.
Okay, let's play a game. What would the Twitter response be if the Spurs signed him?
I think there'd be indifference. There is a lot of enmity towards enmity, whatever that word, towards Jeff Green from basketball Twitter. Like that's their favorite guy. Like him and Rudy Gay are their favorite guys to be. Like, well, actually, those guys aren't very good. And it's like, yeah, we know. You're not like breaking new ground anymore with this take. Like, we got there like 5 years ago. It's like when someone tells you that, hey, did you know Pumped Up Kicks is actually about a school shooting? Yeah, everyone does. Everyone has ever known that from the first time they listened to it. But people are really proud of themselves when they tell you that. Same with that Rudy Gay is actually not good. I don't know.
I'm a Rudy Gay truther. He was actually decent for the last few years.
I agree. Though he's probably broken forever because he has a torn Achilles. I don't know what the Spurs are doing. I don't know. So I'm fine with Jeff Green. I think.
What do you want from the rest of the summer and free agent?
Sorry if I can push you off for a second.
Go ahead.
Do you think it's fair to say that the Cavs' like kind of goal with their wing rotation is to kind of insulate against needing Richard Jefferson?
I think that's kind of fair. Like, that's definitely what Dunleavy was last year.
I agree. And Jeff Green kind of is a step in that direction in terms of they can play a small ball four that doesn't make LeBron play small ball four. That's the problem. Like, they could run more lineups with, like, JR at the three or Shump at the three, but then LeBron has to play the four in the regular season. He's just not interested in that.
Mm-hmm. And then he's giving dirty looks to the sideline and sending off angry tweets.
Yep. So I think Jeff Green's valuable in that regard. There, obviously, I think we both want them to bring over Chetty. And I'm interested because I was talking to Chris Manning about this, and he was kind of indicating that he thought Teddy was going to spend a decent amount of time in Canton next year. I sort of disagree.
I really disagree.
Especially, I mean, he might not be as ready as we want him to be, but also, if he's making more than $3.5 million,
they're going to play him.
They're not going to stash that big of a, because I mean, $3.5 million costs like what, like $10 million in luxury tax?
Yeah.
So like,
and the other factor is they didn't want to give Jamal Crawford the full MLE.
Yeah.
And if you like, it may take some doing to justify that to LeBron, because LeBron just thinks, okay, there's an established player, I want that. But if you're at least playing with Chetty, then you can say, okay, this is what that guy has. At least we're playing the guy that we paid instead of Crawford. Mm-hmm. If you're just putting him in the D League, that's just going to make the decision look worse and worse.
Now, if he's,
if it is the smart long-term move.
And if he's completely awful, well, you know, whatever. That's the way it goes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think he'll obviously have an adjustment. So you want to bring Chetty over. But then, I mean, I was saying this to you. I all of a sudden, there's a lot of wings on this roster. Is there a too much tipping point? Because they're going to be looking at Shumpert, Smith, LeBron, Chetty, Korver, Green.
Dwayne Wade.
That, if it is those seven guys, did I say RJ yet? No, I didn't.
No.
RJ. So that's eight wings.
All of the wings?
Like, now, some of them can play some spot point
I still
guard.
Think Shump's gone. I think Shump's gone by the beginning of the year still.
I just feel like the market dried up a little bit. Like, people know he kind of sucks. It doesn't appear like he's going to be in a mellow trade. And it's like, I don't know. I don't know. Are you okay with just a straight salary dump? I mean, I want an exception back or something, and I don't think they're going to get that.
Yeah, I'd want an exception and a pick, which was what the rumor was.
And I don't think that's coming.
Boo.
Sorry. So I think that they're not just going to give them away unless Dan is really worried about salary or they sign someone really good. But
the Cavs wing situation is basically the opposite of Toronto. Like, we have all the wings and they have three.
That's why CJ was so nice for them. Like, I think they might... I don't know if they upgraded the wing, like, because he's probably about as good as PJ Tucker.
Did you see what Damari Carroll had to say on his way out?
I have not looked at the quotes yet. You want to enlighten me?
So he brought up when he was pitched going to Toronto, they said that they were going away from isolation basketball and that they were going to play more team basketball.
More hockey.
And then he said, and then once he got there, it was clear that Lowry and DeRozan just don't trust guys and they won't pass them the ball. And he said, we were 29th and 30th the last 2 years in total assists. He said they just don't trust guys to get the ball. It was still isolation ball and a lot of players aren't happy there.
Yeah, makes sense. But it's like, that's what those guys do.
Mm-hmm.
That's really hard.
And they sign proven shooter after proven shooter, and those shooters just don't deliver. And I guess one argument's, well, those guys aren't performing when they do get the ball. But if you're not getting guys touches, they're not going to be in a rhythm, and they're not going to be ready to deliver in their five touches a game.
I'll tell you what, this might have proven that the Kyrie Dion backcourt pairing was a bad idea. Just
Kyrie Dion was basically Lowry DeRozan.
Yeah, just worse. yeah, so it's interesting to see what I was just thinking about it. You have to be pretty excited if you're a Toronto fan, especially like if you're in the East and you're just hearing these like hashtag he gone rumors.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have to just be licking your chops, right? Like, Toronto,
yeah,
all of a sudden,
you would be doing everything you can to capitalize, like trade for Paul George if you can, or Jimmy Butler.
Yeah, like, I know that the Bulls weren't good, but like, if I'm Garpax, which thank God I'm not, if I'm Garpax, I'm just thinking like, man, if we just weren't bad at our jobs, we could get there. It's almost there. Like, it almost is possible. Like, I don't see why you don't wait it out. Wait out one more year. Everyone else is tanking anyway in the East. Like, the East should not be unopposed for the Cavs right now, given how fragile the Cavs' future is.
Mm-hmm.
The Raptors are prepared to win the East if LeBron leaves. The Celtics are prepared to win the East.
Wizards.
The Wizards are. And I think that's it.
Yeah.
And those teams aren't so good, they should be unopposed.
Unless Milwaukee takes some crazy leap, but I don't really see
roster, that. Their roster construction isn't very good.
Mm-hmm. It's been a fun summer in the East of teams looking worse than the Cavs, and the Cavs still don't have a general manager.
Yeah, I just don't understand why these teams are moving in this direction. And
they're not even looking to clear up space.
Yeah.
That's the amazing thing.
I'm so mad at Kevin Pritchard. I'm furious. I'm in a state of utter collapse based on how freaking stupid their summer has been. Because they should have just traded for Kevin Love if they were going to be that idiots.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the deal with Gary Harrison, a first-round pick.
So they have taken on 4 years, $84 million of Oladipo. They have taken on 2 years, $20 million of Bogdanovich. They have taken 2 years, $20 million of Colleton. They have taken on 4 years, $10 million of Sabonis. I'm sorry, 3 years, $9 million of Sabonis. It's what are you doing? Why are you doing this?
Everything they've done is stupid.
It's so fucking stupid, Justin. It's if you just swapped out Sabonis and Oladipo for Kevin Love, they make the playoffs. Maybe it's a five seed.
Right.
Because that's what they're trying to do, obviously, for some reason, after taking the future pick, while also tying up their cap flexibility.
Oh, boy.
It doesn't make any sense.
And it's funny, even if you're a team that thinks there's a chance LeBron's going to leave, it seems like nobody's really opening up cap space for that. He's not going to take a pay cut. LeBron, those days are past for LeBron. He's not going west because there's just nothing there. Brooklyn isn't clearing up space. They took on Mozgov and Carroll.
I still think if he leaves, he goes west.
Really?
Yeah, just because no one else is palatable. And
mm-hmm.
I think if he leaves, it will be, sure, basketball will probably factor in, but it feels like it's more of a business decision thing than anything. I don't think he's just looking to enter open free agency, if that makes sense. I think mm-hmm. I kind of want to go to LA.
At least the East teams that could theoretically sign him, Brooklyn took on too much money. Knicks, same. Miami somehow has $93 million committed for the next three or four years.
From now on, Pat Riley is literally just I'm retiring in 2 years anyway. I'm so old. I'm making as good of a team as I can right now, which is good for you. Whatever. Do whatever you want. You're old. Screwing over the franchise in the future by trading two first round picks for Goran Dragic, who's 33 years old, but
mm-hmm.
After
driving out the most popular player in franchise history by refusing to not pay him after you promised him you'd pay him.
Hey, the Miami Mafia is strong, and once again, that's
even they are turning on Riley a little bit.
I hope so, because people don't understand how good the Miami Mafia metaphor is, but not in reasons they think is cool. The Miami Mafia, they think it's cool. It's cool, slick mob boss. And when I hear Miami Mafia, I think guy who will screw over anyone to further his own interest.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a mob boss does. They promise things and they don't deliver. They screw guys over. They try to get everyone under their thumb. That is Pat Riley. He is a mob boss. It's just not a compliment.
Yeah.
So yeah. Whatever.
So let's stay.
I am glad
having the worst segues.
Yeah. Hold on. I will say time. The worst thing that ever happened was having to root for Miami to get Gordon Hayward. I have not had supported a Pat Riley endeavor in 10 years, and I didn't feel good to start.
Yeah, that would have been great. I had my great white nopes jokes ready to go.
Hey, it's gonna be, I will say, because I don't think we talked since Hayward signed there. on the pod. I will say I'm glad about it. I'm happy. I know that a lot of people wanted them not to get it because it'd be funny and Ainge, Schadenfreude, or whatever. It's going to be really fun, I think. And
yeah.
Even when it's annoying, it will make it more fun by proxy in the sense, like, kind of in the same
because
way.
Because then there's going to be so many more takes to laugh at when they lose in the second round.
It's going to up the intrigue, you know? Like, with the Warriors are annoying too, but, like, they become a, you know, if the Celtics become...
It's good content.
Yeah, if the Celtics become a 10% more worthy opponent, that's more fun for us. Now, if they upset us, then, well, whatever. That sucks. But,
yeah.
You know, I just think... I kind of felt this way last year to a much, you know, much higher degree as, like, I kind of wanted Durant to come to the East. I just thought, like, oh, that'd be really fun, like, to duke it out with the Celtics in the East Finals every year.
Yeah, yeah, I would have liked seeing him...
Like
Washington would have been fun.
Yeah. Turns out close series are more fun than not close series. And we haven't had a lot of those.
Yeah, we just had three smackdowns and then a fourth smackdown that was less fun.
Yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, anyway.
So I want to talk a little bit about what's left, what needs need to be addressed. And also, I want to start things off with Summer League. Have you watched any of the Cavs Summer League?
Yeah, I've watched a little bit. Not as closely as probably, well, actually probably as closely as Ryan Morton, who's there.
Yeah, he doesn't know where he is.
Yeah, he is probably 6 days into a bender now. But yeah, I've watched. I normally have it on while I'm at work, and it's not like a regular season game where I pay closer attention and probably less attention to my work. Hope my bosses aren't listening.
The funny thing about the Summer League games is people are like, okay, this guy's clearly not ready to contribute last year. And I'm like, well, these take place immediately after the season. There was no off-season improvement. Like, this is just who, like, for Kay Felder, for example, that's just who he is. There's going to be 3-4 months off after this where that's when you actually expect development. So it really isn't the best way to gauge where a player is going to be for next year.
Yeah, I think that's absolutely fair. Though, you would have liked to see a little more development from Ked over the course of last year.
Oh, I'm already out.
Yeah, I was out about a month then. And I'm not proud of that. But also, like, when push comes to shove, you have to account for the very real reality that he's not very quick.
Yeah.
Well, then we're done. He's we're done
quick
here.
For his size, but his...
Yeah, you have to be like Isaiah Thomas quick if you're going to be 5'8". Like,
or get special permission to carry the ball every play.
Sure. But, like, he doesn't blast by guys at all.
No.
And, like, if you're that short, it's like, well, what's the point then? And he's not a very good shooter. And, like, even if he was, like, pretty good, like, I think he needed to be great to justify existing out there. I don't know. I don't see it. It was a good swing. I'm much higher on Eddie Tavares than him.
I was about to say we're going to be treated to we're going to be treated to the Chetty and Eddie show.
The worst I'm show fully on television. Ready.
Even though Eddie moves like he has a rocket issue.
He's Brazilian or some shit.
He's really tall.
He's also really tall, but a little shorter. 7 o'clock on Wednesday.
The whole show is going to be Eddie having a tough time getting into the vehicle because he's too short, and then Eddie's just going to stick his head through the sunroof.
Yep. That's going to be really, really endearing.
That's the premise of the show.
It's going to be a really bad show.
Still better than Big Bang Theory.
Yeah, well, duh, it's the worst show on television. Eddie has been good. I wish he rebounded a little better. That might sound dumb, I don't know. I don't feel like he rebounds out of area very well, but he's also enormous and not very fast moving. They need a backup center, though. That's reality. And I wonder if they will try to go, if they'll go in-house on that kind of stuff. Or if they'll look at someone like Willie Reed. I don't know if Willie Reed's going to be gettable for the minimum. He shouldn't be. But at the same time, like, you just see this market drying up more and more and more, and like, our team's going to go into the tax to pay Willie Reed.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Tarik Black, that's another interesting. Yeah, let's
JaVale McGee.
Yeah, let's fucking do it. Let's go into the free agents.
Let's get weird with JaVale McGee.
No. I'm not interested at all. I really am not. Oh, Birdman Anderson. He's on the list.
Andrew Bogut.
Could bring those two back. Our two injured, washed up veterans.
It was so fun the first time around.
Yeah, I mean, if they're looking at bigs, I wouldn't be furious if they ran with a slightly younger energy big.
Yeah.
Is that fair to say?
Yeah, that'd be fun. And someone that runs the floor. Tyler Zeller. Is he signed yet?
Nope. Not to my knowledge.
I really want Tyler Zeller back.
That's an interesting one. Zeller is interesting. I think Tarik Black is interesting. Have you any interest in Jonas Tarepko?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, again, there's another wing, but yeah, he's a 3-4, and I basically want anybody that can play multiple positions. Like, that's where I'm at.
And, like, I feel like a signing of Jarepko sort of insulates you just in case Jeff Green is horrible. Like, there's an interesting... I mean,
Jarepko is clearly better than Jeff Green. Yeah, like, he'll play
above him. I'm sorry. But I was listening to the most recent Dunked on Basketball, and he was taught, and I think Danny LaRue was saying something along the lines of one of the benefits of the Celtics having so many small forwards is the way he phrased it was the guys will get the playing time they deserve, which is to say, you know, you don't just have to keep running Shump out there because you don't have anyone else, you know, kind of situation. Like, you don't have to keep running RJ out there because, like, you don't have a backup four, so that's who has to play. Like,
right.
Even if he's terrible, you have to play him because that's who you have. Like,
and last year sucked because they were so shallow and then they got banged up.
Yeah, so if you have Chetty, you have Green, you have Jarepko, the guys who deserve the minutes will get them. The guys who play their way into the minutes will get them. And I don't think that's something Lou's been afraid to do, is just say, like, well, you're not playing good, so get out. Especially in the playoffs. So I think Jarepko would be interesting in that regard.
I still like Thabo.
Yeah, I like Thabo or Gerald Henderson a lot more if they find a new home for Shump.
Yeah.
I just think they're going to have a hard time.
Because, again, then it's way too many wings.
I think they're just going to have a hard time. Like, I've heard Aaron Aflalo's name a few times from people. I'm not really that interested.
He doesn't really have much left.
No, I think he's gone. He shot 40% from three last year, but people think he can still defend, and he can't.
No, those days have long passed.
Like, probably ever since the year he got traded to Portland, we realized he just was pretty much done.
God, he was on Portland?
Yeah, the Nuggets traded him for a first-round pick.
I completely forgot about that.
For half a season, and that was when McCollum was really starting to break out, so he was like their third guard.
Right.
Like 3 years ago. So he hasn't been great for a while. Reggie Bullock, a Pat favorite, got signed, I think, yesterday to a pretty cheap deal to stay in Detroit. Your boy Vince Carter, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
And well, actually, no. We'll see him at buyout season. I mean, is there any chance that guy is not a free agent in February?
I think there's a chance. I think there's a chance.
Because the Kings are good enough?
Well, no. I think those guys are there to be like season-long mentors to whoever they have, like Randolph and Carter. That's the role with the team.
God, get me on because the Kings mentorship plan.
Anything to change the culture there, like, that should be the top priority.
Yeah.
Even if they win a couple games more than they should.
Yeah. It's interesting. Like, the market is drying up a little bit, which is what the Cavs want. I think that's important to note, that the Cavs want teams to be out of money.
They're ready to feast on the scraps like a mantis.
Yes. The Frank Reynolds plan is the Cavaliers offseason, as you've so aptly suggested. It's just going to be interesting to see who they chase, because I do think they need one big, right?
Yeah. It's funny because I'm like, they need a point guard, they need a big, and they need a couple wings.
Unfortunately, they already have that point guard, Justin. His name is Jose Calderon.
I know, but if we're being realistic about needs.
I'll say this. It might be wise just to not get another point guard if you're really confident you're getting Dwayne Wade in 3 months.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Like,
maybe Calderon is just there to... because he's got a non-guaranteed deal, right?
I don't know.
I'm pretty sure Barton said that it was a non-guaranteed deal. So maybe they're just kind of bridging the gap between now and buyout season, which is something they didn't do last year. They're like, okay, Kay Felder will be enough. Or Amon Shumpert's going to be backup point guard.
Yeah.
Or Jordan McRae.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that idea, you know.
If he wasn't just absolutely... useless, yeah. But
you know, who knows? You know who else is available on the free agent market that we haven't talked about, and I can't believe you haven't talked to me about him. Our boy Jeff Withey. I would absolutely take Jeff Withey over.
I would take Withey
over
too.
Tyler Zeller. I take him over.
I would not take him over Zeller.
Zeller can play. So bad at rebounding.
But he moves.
He moves,
and he gets a.
I don't know. I feel like he moves, like, in a transition.
He moves like wildlife.
But I don't think he, like, is, like, a smart team defender.
No.
He
had foul trouble when he was in Cleveland, and that didn't exactly change in Boston.
I think it'd be fun to have a shot blocker on the team. And Jeff Withey has proven he can do that.
Yeah.
And
I wouldn't hate Jeff Withey. Yeah, like, I'd be down for that.
And he'd be cheap. Because I think Willie Reed is going to get... signed from Willie Reed, I think, is my preference. That guy can board.
But he's going to get money. He has to get money.
Someone's going to pay him part of an exception. There's no cap room left, but someone, he's 27. Even, you know, a team that has marginal room that just won, like the Lakers, if they can't get KCP, should throw like $8 million 1 year at him. Just something, you know, like.
Yeah.
He's going to get something. So I think he'll be out of the range, but no one is paying money to Jeff Withey. As God is my witness, no one is paying money to Jeff Withey.
If the Jazz didn't give him money, no one will.
Yeah, so I don't know. I just think that feels like the move is to find, you know, a rim protecting center that can eat some minutes and maybe give Tristan a break every now and again.
How fun would it be if Eddie actually works out?
I mean, yeah, I think that's the preference. Is that the dream? Eddie works out, but. I mean, we also have to operate within the context of reality.
I don't have to do anything. And don't tell me how to live my life.
Much more likely that Eddie does not work out than that he does.
This is 2 years in a row now that the Cavs will have the reigning D-League Defensive Player of the Year, or G-League, however you want to
go. Was it Liggins the year before?
Liggins was the year before, and then Eddie got it last year.
Huh. Well, you know, I think that would probably, if you're looking at a point guard, if you do want to find someone and not wait for Wade, who are you looking at? Because it's slim pickings, man.
Oh, we haven't talked about Monte Ellis yet.
Yep, that's not on accident. For me. I don't need to talk about Monte Ellis.
Let's sign Monte and JaVale McGee.
Well,
let's get weird with it.
I think that if we've learned anything from the last 3 years, it's that the key to winning a title is having a ridiculous redemption project.
No. I've already found my favorite redemption guy.
Who?
The return. Mo Spates.
Oh, hell yeah. I love Mo Spates.
Why haven't we brought him back yet? Like, he can legitimately shoot, too.
Yeah, he can shoot, and... he can't do anything else, but damn it, I don't care. I love most
Mo Buckets.
It's gonna be.
I'm one.
There's some really interesting names still in this market. Like Tabo is still there's out no, there.
Yeah, there's no money left, and there's guys that will be interesting. Yeah, so.
Tabo would be really interesting. I know he's old as dirt, and people would be like annoyed because he can't really shoot. But damn it, it'd be just really nice just to have another lockdown guy. Next to LeBron for once.
Yeah, I mean, there's still quite a few roster spaces that need to be filled. There's a lot of names available. So while it hasn't been a very eventful offseason to this point, this is kind of what you'd hope for. Like, the Cavs are never going to be a major player in the first week or two of free agency, at least not with this core.
No, they're not. I'm going to say it, and you're going to yell at me.
Yep.
I bet they look at Rajon Rondo.
No. I guarantee you they don't.
I'll bet they think about it.
How do you prove that?
I don't know. I just think they're going to look at him. I just do. I think they're going to be like, I think they're going to do their due diligence on Rajon Rondo, and it's going to be really annoying.
I can't see it. They've done enough to piss off LeBron this year.
That's a great point. Question.
But who knows? Who knows with this team?
Yeah. At what point, I mean, I'm not saying the Cavs should chase him, but it's something we were talking about just before. Where is Derrick Rose going to go? It's fascinating. No one has any
Milwaukee.
Money. That, they don't have any money.
Yeah, but he's not going to get money.
But, like, he's going to get some. He's not going to get the minimum.
Point guard is just, it's such a deep position, and nobody needs him. Like, look around the league. Is there one team that needs Derrick Rose?
No, not really. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. You know, and it's funny.
Maybe he'll go back to the Knicks.
What would your prediction be for his annual salary on his next contract?
How much do they pay in Europe?
Stop it. Give me genuine, engage me on this.
I haven't really given it much thought on how... $7 million?
Okay. So a tax-paying team, I believe, would have to be giving him a $7 million exception.
Yeesh.
Because the only teams that have room to give him that that are under the cap, Chicago, no.
So, oh my god, that would be great.
Yeah, just give me a quick yes or no on all these teams, okay?
Okay.
Suns.
Meh.
They just stated that their plan was to go super young and shed veterans. So
then no.
Nets.
Probably not.
Mavericks.
I can see that. Carlisle likes
they have Yoke,
trying
but they
to
have
redeem.
Yogi and Dennis Smith and Seth Curry.
Seth Curry.
Lakers,
yeah,
maybe.
But still.
Lakers feels like the best chance to me.
Yep.
Just because they're stupid. Hawks, no.
No.
Sixers.
Man, the Hawks are going to suck.
Yeah, they are. But they're going to be better than they should because Bud's system is good. Sixers.
Hell no.
Pacers. Just signed 2-point guards.
Nothing they do makes sense.
No,
so
let's
give that a strong maybe.
Kings.
No.
Magic.
Maybe.
Nuggets.
No.
And we're out of room.
Absolutely.
And we're out of teams with cap room. Everyone else will have to use an exception. It's not
tough luck, Derek.
Yeah, man. I don't know what he's going to do. I honestly, if I'm him, I almost would consider doing the sign for the minimum on a good team somewhere.
And try to look better.
Try to rehab your value.
Mm-hmm.
Or I guess you could just chase a one-year contract somewhere.
We'll see what he consents to.
Yeah, it'll be... Jesus Christ. yeah, so it's an interesting... This you're going to hate me for this.
I hate you for most things.
If it gets down to it, would you be opposed to Darren coming back?
No.
I don't know why that was so dismissed. Like,
no.
He's not getting paid.
I think that was the assumption. Everyone thought he was going to get money.
Yeah, so that's why you don't rush to pay Jose Calderon. You should see me. I'm like punching the air over in my apartment right now. You don't rush to pay crappy players early in free agency because you never know who's still going to be there.
God, Calderon just feels like such an overpay at the minimum.
Yeah, because he is, in terms of the timing of it. Like, they now might not bring back Darren, who they would have if they didn't Because, like, Darren, like, with a full year to settle into being a backup is not the worst idea.
He actually had good moments towards the end of the season and the first three rounds. Like, totally he was awful in the finals.
Yeah, but so a lot of teams.
It's
of
not
guys
like he was an abomination.
Yeah, a lot of guys were awful in the finals. So, I don't
also,
know.
Also, most backups suck.
Yeah, that's just
like,
the reality.
Every team hates their backup.
Yeah, point guards, believe it or not, super hard. Yeah,
boy.
The rest of the point guards on the market, Ty Lawson, Brandon Jennings isn't an NBA player anymore. It's ugly.
Yeah, it gets ugly in a hurry.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of these guys I'd rather have Calderon, which is not a good look. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll see where they go. I'm fine with one more wing and one more big and then waiting out Wade.
Yeah.
If,
do you have any interest in Terrence Jones?
No.
Nah, me either.
No, he's a bad person. Who?
Oh, I forgot about that. You're right.
Who
you're right.
Everyone hates. Like, I mean, for the Pelicans to cut him, like, a week after he dropped, like, 35 on the Cavs,
mm-hmm.
shows you, like, what a dipshit he is. Like, no
yeah,
one wants
that
to
it's just
him.
Not worthwhile.
So, yeah, I'm fine with a wing like Sefolosha, Gerald Henderson, Jonas Durepko.
Ian Clark's getting money, right?
I guess not. I don't know. Who's giving it to him? Same thing. Maybe on a one-year deal somewhere who can get money. That's what I would do if I were him. I'd go to the Lakers and be like, hey, I'll help you shoot for a minute.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I of the bigs, Willie Reed.
Oh, I would also like Jeff Luke Williams. Richard and Mbamute.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I keep forgetting about him. Man.
That'd be nice.
How much was his player option if he declined?
I don't recall.
I'm looking it up.
2.3.
Okay, so he's not losing any money. Because, I mean, I know Rudy Gay lost a lot of money. A lot of restricted free agents really took a pretty big haircut after opting out. But it'll be, yeah, Mbamute would probably be my preference over
a lot of guys. Like, he's a legitimately great defender at multiple positions.
Yeah, and if he just hits an okay percentage of threes, he's worth it.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, like, because the problem...
He's better than Shumpert.
Yeah, and the problem with his fit was so... His shooting problems were so exacerbated in Clipperland because they played him with, like, Blake and DeAndre. Like if you,
which is far from ideal.
Yeah, like if you play him with Kevin Love, because he's a smart off-ball cutter, and like he can finish.
He'd be so fun in those second units.
Yeah, and
like
he's smart and good and can defend multiple positions. He's about as good as you can get for a role player to throw at Kevin Durant. I'm not sure there's a better one because of his.
Let's get Mbamute and Jeff Withey and bring back Darren. Would you be happy with that?
That would be a perfectly fine offseason to me. Especially given that they got Korver at a pretty good number. Yeah, I think Mbamute, I can't believe we didn't talk about him. Because he should probably be tops on the list.
Yeah,
because you need
I
a
agree.
Durant. Well, obviously there's no such thing as a Durant stopper. But, like, that's such
I would hate spelling out his name all the time, but...
That's such a release of pressure for LeBron defensively in terms of his responsibilities.
I agree.
And you need that, and the Cavs have the shooting to insulate him offensively. So, yeah, Mbamute should be. I hope he's near the top of the list.
All right. Well, look at us go. We actually got a decent amount of conversation out in a very, very slow week. So, hopefully the Cavs have a couple more signings in the next week. Hopefully they have a general manager. I think it's clear they're going to go with Altman, but... If that's the case, why on earth haven't they announced it yet? I don't think... It was funny. I'm sure you saw the tweet of Dan Gilbert sitting next to Rich Paul at Summer League. And I was sitting there. I'm like, how much money would it take to have Rich Paul be president? Like, $10 million a year?
I'd be so cool with it if it meant LeBron was never going to leave.
Oh, I mean, it would guarantee that.
He could be our Bob Myers.
It would be such a pay cut for him to become the president of the Cavs.
It would take an exorbitant amount of money. Anyway, so next week we'll discuss the Melo to Houston trade that is inevitably coming. Sorry, Justin. And yeah, that should be it. If you want to find us on iTunes, leave us a review. That would be lovely. Mm-hmm.
The reviews are helpful. You can also subscribe.
So yeah. Be sure to tune in next week. And I've commandeered this ending because I just thought we needed to wrap it up.
I like it.
And go Cavs.
Go Cavs.